Hi, my name is Donna Malieri and I work on the Azure Mobile Services team. Today I want to tell you about a cool new feature that we've added recently that's called Offline Sync. And what that lets you do is build apps that work with your mobile service and with the data on your mobile service, even if the app is not actually connected to the network. And what we do is we maintain a local store of data on your device, and then you can synchronize that with your mobile service when the app is back online. So I'm going to talk about how that works and how you can detect conflicts if you change the same item on both a device and a server and they've now become out of sync. So let's look at a simple to-do app. So to get started with Offline, what I'm going to do is show you a very simple app that's similar to the quick start that you get when you go to the mobile services site. This is a little bit different because it actually lets you edit items after you've added them. So this is the online version. I've taken out all the code that has to do with offline. So let's add an item. Let's add show sync. And we can, of course, edit the item. And this is the online version. So it's just going to edit in the database now that I've added it. If we look back at the data, we can see that the item actually is there. And right now I'm showing you SQL Server Object Explorer, where I can look at all the data in a particular table. So we see this item is here. So now let's change this app and turn it into one that can work online and offline. And what we're going to do is make it an app that assumes that you're primarily offline and then you're going online at given times in order to synchronize. So to get started, first you change your mobile service table to mobile service sync table. And I can keep it with the same name and use it in pretty much the same way as I did before. And now instead of doing get table of to-do item, I'm going to do get sync table of to-do item. So that's the first step. The next step is I need to set up a local database where all this data is being stored when I'm not actually online, because when you are online, you're going to be hitting your mobile service and writing directly to the back end. If you're offline, you need somewhere to put the data. Mobile services comes with a SQLite sync store, but you can also provide your own because we've written a very general interface that lets you plug in any kind of data store. So I've written some code here. Let's drop in some code here that already sets up the sync store. And this is the SQLite store that I was talking about. And we specify the table that we want. If that table already exists, it won't overwrite it. And then we just initialize the store. We also specify a sync handler, which I'll talk about in a minute. The next step is that we have to go and actually make the pull and push buttons do something. So right here, all they're doing is refreshing the to-do items, but let's change it so that we actually pull and push. So for pull, what we do is a little bit simpler, because in this case, we have one particular table that we want to pull. So what we'll do is we'll just say await to-do table dot pull async. And if you have multiple tables, you would have additional pull asyncs for all of those tables. So you can explicitly control which tables it is that you want to synchronize. If you have a lot of tables and a lot of data, you don't want to necessarily have all of that replicated on the device when it's offline. Maybe only some part of the app works when you're offline. And so having a pull async that works per table gives you a lot of flexibility and control over exactly what you want to store on the device and what you want to not bother taking up space. So for push, it's a little bit different. What we'll do is we're going to call a method that's on the sync context called push async. Now, you might be surprised that you're calling push async on the sync context instead of on the to-do table. And there's a very good reason for that. That's because you might have changes in multiple tables that depend on one another. So if we let you push changes that were from one table but not all the others, you'd actually end up with a very weird state. Like suppose you had a customer in an order and you pushed all the changes to the order, but you've lost the fact that you've created new customers. So that's the reason that push async is a method on the sync context. Another thing that to note is that when you do a pull async, if you have any changes at all on that particular table, under the hood, it'll do a push async. But this also means that if you wanted to do a true sync operation, you'd want to do a push async and then a pull async, because you could have changes in other tables that you want to make sure are reflected before you do your pull. So now let's run this program with these changes for offline. So right now, you can see something interesting, which is that there's no data at all in the table. And that's because, like I said, this app is written to be working primarily offline. So the first thing that we need to do is do pull. And this pulls down our item as expected. So now let's edit this. So I'll change it to show sync on channel 9. Now, I'm going to go back to the data and show you that it's not here. The new data is not here. So it still has the old text. And the changes are going to stay on my device until I hit push, which I'll do now. Now, if we go back, we can confirm that this change actually did happen and get pushed through to the server. And here we go. Here's the new data. Now, another thing that can happen when you're dealing with a device and offline data, which can already happen on the online world, but it's even worse in the offline world, is that you can end up in a situation where you're changing some record, and that same exact record has been changed by somebody else and has already been pushed to the server, and so now you're out of date with regard to that. So a really good example of this is you have a cable repairman who goes to someone's house and he has a work order that says this person's cable is out. So he maybe goes and fixes everything, thinks everything is done, and he makes a note saying everything's working, but he's still offline. Now, in the meantime, before he's actually done the sync, the customer finds some other problem, calls up the cable company, and that same record is modified saying that, no, everything's broken. Everything needs to be fixed now. If we didn't allow conflict handling, then you'd have a really bad situation where once the cable repairman did his sync operation, he'd overwrite the changes, and then the poor customer would now be told that everything's fine because their database is telling you that's what's happening. So because we don't want to write apps like that, and we want to enable you to write apps in the right way, what we provide is conflict handling. And it ties into the feature of optimistic concurrency that's already in the online version of mobile services. So let's look and see how that is going to work. Okay. So let's see what happens if we manually create a conflict and we try to edit an item on the device that has already been changed on the server, and we're actually changing a different version of that particular record. So right now, I have in my app, I say I have show sync on channel 9, which we just saw was what's on the server as well. So I'm going to change this same exact item to tell people about mobile services. And I'm not going to push the changes. So if we go back to the back end, we can see that this is still showing the old record, which is what we expect. Now, let's just change this to something silly, like I love Azure. Actually, that's not so silly. I love Azure. And now, if we go and we push the changes, our automatic conflict handling is going to kick in. And it's going to say, hey, you thought you were modifying a particular version. You thought you were modifying the version that said something about showing people offline. And now it's something completely different. And here's the difference. So now we can pop up a user dialog. In this case, I'm just showing in the UI, I'm just showing both versions of the data. And I can pick which one I want. So in this case, let's say pick server version. And now we can see that we have indeed pulled in the right change into our UI. And now this particular record is what's going to be in our local store. So everything's working. Now let's see how that actually works under the hood. So we have this code here where we've initialized the sync store. And remember, I said I was going to talk about the sync handler later, and that's this part here. I've already written a sync handler that handles a conflict and actually shows that dialogue to the user. And so let me walk you through it. There's one particular method in a sync handler, which is a type that derives from iMobile Service Sync Handler. The important one to note is execute table operation async. And what that lets you do is get in between the operation and it's being pushed out to the server. So you can either take action before or after, or in this particular case, you can see that something happened and there is a conflict having to do with a precondition failed exception. So here, let's catch the precondition failed exception. And from that, we can get the server value, which will be in the error.value property of the error. And we have our local item that's the operation.item property. So now I'm going to show this conflict dialog that we saw. And in the case where you want to resolve the conflict in favor of the client, what we do is we overwrite the version on the client and make it the same as the version on the server. And that has to do, that ties into how optimistic concurrency works. Basically, every time you change a record, the revision number is going to increase on the back end. And now we're, you know, at version 3, for instance, on the server in this case. And on the client, we thought we were at version 2. So right now, what we're actually doing is saying, oh no, on the local device, what we actually have is version 3. Just pretend it's the latest, pretend I have the latest thing, and continue. And now, assuming that nothing else happens in between this, assuming there's no other write that's pending, what will happen is the operation will be tried again. This is a loop, so it's going to do that in the continue. And in this case, it will succeed. Now, otherwise, if we want to resolve the conflict in favor of the server, we'll just return the server value from this execute operation and the execute table operation async, and all of the mobile services sync code will know that you've actually want to discard your local changes. And otherwise, in the case that the user clicked cancel, you can abort your push operation. And this is just one way to handle conflicts. You can also write a try-catch around your push, which I'm not going to show, but I'll show where you would write the code. So in this case, on the push button push click, I'm awaiting push async and refreshing the to-do items. And here I'm not doing anything other than showing an error. But you could also write similar error handling code in this exception handler. And you'd get the same effect as what we saw. Now, the one thing that would be different is if you had multiple pushes that were going out, then if you put your exception handler here in the push failed exception, you could then process all the conflicts in bulk, which, depending on what you're doing, might be what you want. You might want to, in the case that I showed, you might want to get in front of each operation and see what's going on then and cut things and solve the conflicts right then. Or you might want to handle all your conflicts in bulk, and here, you, in your catching the push failed exception, you could resolve the conflicts and retry the operation. So that's just a sampling of what you can do with mobile services offline. And what I've showed you is how it works with a Windows Store app. Today, you can write offline code that works with the Windows Store apps with Windows Phone, and very soon we're going to have versions that work with Xamarin and iOS. The other interesting thing about offline is that it works on both backends, both Node and .NET, and different backend stores in the case of .NET, which is a lot easier to set up. So you could use it with table storage and or Mongo or a combination thereof. And you get this nice cross-platform story between both the backend store that you're using and the client app that you have. Thanks a lot. And if you have any questions, feel free to contact me on Twitter. Thank you.